sit right over here. Maybe we can, excuse me, I hope I have my voice here. Went right by you. Okay, we're on a series of messages on Wednesday night. It's about breaking from the past, breaking free from the past. And it's in recognition to some people, it is just overwhelming. Whatever happened traumatic or really discouraging in the past seems to dominate the rest of their life. But the truth is, we all, to some extent, struggle with things that have happened in the past, and they constantly come up. They impact the way we see the life. And Scripture talks about how we're to move forward. And this series of messages is just on that, how to break free. We started 2 weeks ago talking about the problem. And if one does not face this problem head on, then you really have no hope for living the victorious Christian walk. It is a reality. You have to deal with the fact that we're all sinners. And stop making excuses by blaming others. The number one thing we have to do is admit that we have sin. And we need to come to our Lord. And, you know, it may be that you had some very, very difficult situations. And it may be that others have sinned against you. I'm not saying that. But we have to recognize that we can't live our lives as victims. We need to recognize we have responsibility to live all the time in a holy way. And yet we do so poorly. And the only solution is to first and foremost acknowledge that we're all sinners. Acknowledge that you are a personal sinner. Number two, we talked about last week, the promise. And the promise has everything to do with mercy. Our great God is the God of mercy. And His mercy allows us to have and find and experience forgiveness. Now again, we have to accept it. We have to understand that that's what the Bible says. We can be forgiven. And we got to claim that. Now, if you're not willing to admit you're a sinner, you're not even going to pursue forgiveness. But some people that recognize they're sinners get so caught up in this that they are unwilling. They'll accept God's forgiveness in a lot of areas, but not for this particular one or this particular bad one. And that isn't the way it is. Our God died for all the sins of the whole world. And we need to accept and understand the power of the teaching of Scripture in regards to God's mercy, the way He does things for us that we don't deserve. And in it, we can find forgiveness. We can find that when God the Father looks at us, He doesn't see us with all of our marks. He sees us if we have sought forgiveness in Jesus Christ, His Son. He sees us in Christ as part of the body. He sees the shed blood of Christ covering all of our sins. Now this week, we're going to talk about the journey. And it is the process of life. I used an illustration a couple weeks ago about being in a river and how this is really helpful to me when I think about living the Christian life. The Christian life is about living in grace. But how to experience that is a pretty interesting dilemma for a lot of people. I parallel it to this. If you're trying to live outside of the grace of God and trying to live the holy life in your own power, it is very analogous to trying to swim up a powerful river. And guess what? In the end, you lose. You run out of strength. You can try. You can use the best form. You can have all the great objectives and all of the positive intents. But if you swim against a strong current, eventually you lose. We are not able to do that. We can't do it in our own strength. The reverse is what we should view our Christian walk like. The grace of God. God has a plan for you and I. Do you recognize that? He has a plan for our lives. What we need to do is stop fighting it and start to enjoy life. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. It is fascinating. He says that, and two verses later, he says, and be careful for nothing. It's not like in the process of rejoicing and living the life of grace, you're not going to have some problems. But when you see it, don't be discouraged. But by prayer and supplication, make your requests be known unto His. Here's the analogy, at least in my own life. Living life of grace is like going canoeing in the way that we often go canoeing in our culture. Now, I'm not talking about the boundary water situation here where you just go out and make your own path. I'm talking about renting the canoes on one of the rivers. What do? You rent it upstream. This is amazing, isn't it? You rent it upstream and then you row all the way downstream, and it's so tiring and you get so much exercise. But the truth is, you would have gotten downstream if you did nothing. If you would have just sat in the boat. You'd get there just a little later than some of the others, but you would have gotten there. That is a reality, by the way. God is going to fulfill His purpose in your life. Now, the smartest way to do this is to go with the current. Now, when I've swam in rivers that have strong current, there is some, you know what, you do bounce off of some things. Ever been in one of those where I always thought that was kind of fun. It's also phenomenally dangerous, and I'm not recommending it to anybody, but it was a lot of fun when I did it. You get in the current and it just goes. But I did notice something. Sometimes you bounced off things that you couldn't avoid. You just hit them. I mean, because the current was too strong. That will happen in life. But when you're going God's way, you can bounce off the stuff and keep going. It really is a beautiful thing how God takes us. You know, the older I get, the longer I've walked with God, the more I recognize that's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, it talks about, don't worry about tomorrow. Just deal with today. Now, you ought to make the right decisions in regards to tomorrow that you can make today, but don't be overwhelmed with the future. The fear of the future has paralyzed many, many people, just like the burden of the past has crippled many. The Christian walk is all about living in the present, rejoicing in the Lord and living in the present. Now, with having said that as kind of an intro, I'll go through my thoughts here. Grace, by my definition here, is unmerited favor, and that's an important truth. It's pretty universally used for this word. It is talking about the fact that God's grace is nothing you or I earn. And that's an important reality. What does it mean to you to know that salvation is in no way a result of your own effort? That's what it says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, so what does it mean to you that you've been saved? Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. Well, Jerry, why don't you share? Just say it nice and loud.
Hey, it's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing.
He saved me, and I just had to do it a little better.
That's right.
It would really worry me if I didn't get my little bit done.
Yep. Could worry you in that. Our Lord has completed it all. You know, for me, I find it in this verse in a powerful way. Look at what Psalms 103 says. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He has accomplished so much that's a long ways away. And He's the one that has arranged it. It is a motivation for me to be tremendously grateful. Okay? That's if I wanted to say it in a really a brief phrase, what does it mean to me that God has done all for my salvation? I am grateful. Now, it is very possible, and I have interacted with many people that clearly give a salvation testimony, and they even have a life that pretty much reflects that they probably are genuine believers. But I'll tell you what, you don't sense a gratefulness. But you often will sense a real sadness in their life. It is about what He has done. And that is a tremendous motivator for me to live differently than if I would have earned it. I'll tell you another way that this impacts me, that question. I dwelled on it for a while. If I had earned my salvation, then I, as a pastor, may be looking forward to retirement saying, you know what, I've done it enough years now. I'm packing it in. But recognizing it is only by His grace that I'm saved, even if I physically couldn't have a vocational job, I would still be doing what I do today. Because I want to. For what God has done for me, I just want to serve Him. It's not a burden. It is a tremendous privilege. Why do you believe some people refuse to accept the grace of God? Well, the first one I came with is we refuse to accept God's mercy, His forgiveness. If you don't accept His forgiveness, why would you accept the grace of God? Why would you understand salvation as a gift? But once we recognize that He has done this for us, it's a beautiful truth. We reject God's method of change. When we reject the grace of God, it is His grace that we're supposed to be living by the faith that we were saved in. We are to be energized by the grace of God in our life. We choose to not exercise our grace muscles. We don't live that way. We're driven and motivated differently than what God intends for us. Why do many speak of sin as our greatest enemy? Now think about that in our own fellowship, okay? So many people, oh, that's a horrible sin. I hate this sin. Yet, we hold it close and refuse to let go. Can you recognize that? A lot of people talk about how wicked it is, but they continue in it. And you sit there and say, I don't get it. Well, I think it's a couple things. Martin Luther said this. This is a pretty great, I thought it was an excellent quote. Martin Luther was saying, listen, reflecting on his promise of faith, I need to do that because I will struggle. I will struggle with my mind, reasoning and doubting that this could be, but I can win in this if I will do it in the power of the Spirit of God. Romans tells us this. So we'll get to something that I know is right. Romans chapter 6, 11 through 14. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members and instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You know what that verse says to me? It reminds me that on a daily basis, I have to make some decisions. And so do you. It is so natural to go and give over to the flesh and say, you know what, I'm just sick of this and I'm just going to do what I want to do today. No, that is not okay. Because of what God has done, I need to choose to do what is right. And I need to purpose to present myself as a living sacrifice. Okay, think about this. In any way, shape, or form, did you present yourself to the Lord today? And say, here I am, Lord, whatever you want with me today, I want to do that. That's what this verse is saying, is to be part of our everyday experience. A conscious decision to say, nope, I'm not going to yield to the fleshly desires. Yes, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. And I am going to do what the Word says and what the Spirit prompts me to do. Here I am, Lord. Send me. How does grace empower a person to live the Christian life? Well, I'm going to take Spurgeon's quote this time. Yesterday, God was very gracious to me. Tomorrow, He will be very gracious to me. And the sum will be true the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until there shall be no more days, and time shall be swallowed up in eternity. Isn't that a beautiful way to look at the grace of God, the graciousness of God? Just more and more and more. And you know what? I reflect on that in my life, and I am stunned with how gracious God has been to me. And it's an encouragement to face tomorrow. Ephesians 2 reminds us, for by grace you are saved from faith, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. Martin Luther said this, "Dear Lord," in his prayer, "although I am sure of my position, I am unable to sustain it without you. Help me, or I am lost." See what Martin Luther was saying in this prayer that he wrote down? He understood that he needed to live by the power of the Spirit of God, not in his own power. And that is, he was going with the process of life. If you look at the life of Martin Luther, it was not an easy life. The truth is, if you looked at any of our lives, there are aspects of it that are not easy. But if we're a believer, we need to just go with the flow of life and choose to honor God with the decisions that come our way, the opportunities that come our way. Why is it suggested that a true believer will not fall into the trap of using grace as a license to sin no more? Well, we realize, if we're really a true believer, we realize that we are a bondservant of God. Notice what 1 Peter tells us. It's chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice," in other words, for evil, "but as bondservants of God. Honor all the people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." I personally reflect on 1 Corinthians chapter 6 often. I was bought with a price. Guess who else was bought with a price? Yeah, and that ought to drive us to yield ourselves to Him. So we are living the life that He wants us to live. Not the life we would choose necessarily, but the life He has chosen for us. We just go with a plan, and then we give it our all, and we choose to surrender to do what He would want us to do. Not to sin, not to the flesh, but to God and to righteousness. Does God think of His people in an angry or hostile way? Well, you know, a lot of believers do. A lot of believers, well, God's angry at me. God is not pleased with me. Well, I have a real trouble when I hear people say that. Because notice what Romans chapter 5, 1 and 2 says. "Therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, it's through Jesus Christ. It's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's covered the problem here. And we're at peace. God the Father is not angry with us. Notice it goes on, "through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand." We not only have peace with God, we have access into this grace, this unmerited favor, by which we are to be standing against life. We are to be able to, it's to sustain us. It's to be the force, the energy. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We should be a happy people. We're at peace with God. We stand in grace, unmerited favor. Things are way better than they ought to be. And we rejoice in the hope. You recognize this? We sit here and we are at peace, present tense. And we have access to the faith and the grace in which we stand, present tense. And future tense, we rejoice in the hope. It's even going to get better of the glory of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, the grace is sufficient for weakness. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What a beautiful truth. Yet we grumble. We have a tendency that when we see things going negative for us, to grumble about it. And yet we ought to rejoice in it, because the harder, the more difficult, the more overwhelming the circumstances become, the more opportunity is for the glory of God to shine through and to sustain us and for us to recognize the grace of God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's an interesting verse because it doesn't talk about an easy life. See the inner part of this verse? Who called us to his eternal glory after you have suffered a while. While he's headed towards perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you in the midst of it. Psalms, the grace, God's grace is given to those who are humble and upright. Notice Psalms 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk upright. So I'm talking about, how are we supposed to live the life and get beyond the past? Well, we ought to just get excited about today. Yes, you might have had horrible things happen in the past. We'd get excited about living for the Lord right now. And then live uprightly. When you go into a job interview, Sue, you rejoice in the fact that the Lord has allowed me to get here. And I'm going to rejoice in this. I have an interview. This is a good thing. And God's right here with me. It's the same even as we face huge medical challenges. Prognosis looks bad. But you know what? The mere fact that you're getting a prognosis says physically it's not as bad as it could have been. You understand what I'm saying? You're still living if you heard the prognosis. They may have said you only have a few weeks to live, but you're sitting there saying, well, at least I'm here to hear you say that to me. And we can rejoice in that because God can use that in powerful ways. When we are faced with those most difficult times, we can shine the brightest for our Lord. So we need to keep in mind that we're only journeying here. We have been bought with a price. We are not our own. And therefore, live for his glory no matter what the circumstances. James tells us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. How are we supposed to live? In our own power and in our own pride, while I'm a holy Christian, I'm doing so good. No, humbly recognize that we come from a wicked sinner base. We were desperately wicked. And he saved us. 2 Thessalonians 1:11-12. Therefore we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love this part, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. Was Christ glorified in you today? Did you bring glory to him? Did it even cross your mind? It is supposed to be driving us in our daily walk. And yet we can get caught up in our things to do list to the point that we are missing what's eternally significant. In the next 24 hours, I'm challenging you to identify at least one instance when reliance on God's grace helps you to remain strong at a moment of weakness. Any verse come to mind on that? I can do what? All things through what? Through Christ who strengtheneth me. Brother Jerry.
1 Corinthians 10:13. The power of the fall of the power. There is no temptation
taking you, which is common. Yep.
But God is faithful. You are not allowed to be tempted more than you are able. Will we get this temptation and also make a great escape?
Amen. Yes, and he. Yeah, and he is faithful to always make the way of escape. It is simply our responsibility to identify it and then yield ourselves to righteousness and not to sin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look at these thoughts. I pray that you would use them in our lives. Challenge us, Father, to live holy lives. Father, to live in the power of your grace, to go with your plan for our life. And in the midst of this plan, to be constantly looking for opportunities to bring glory to you. To choose righteously and holy, humbly serving you. And Father, not to use our freedom for vice and sin. Not to surrender ourselves to the pull of the flesh and our desires. But in everything, bring honor and glory to you. I pray, Father, that you would help us in the next 24 hours, each one of us, to individually identify and be encouraged by the experience of recognizing your power, your grace, your mercy in our lives as we face the ups and downs of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.